Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection, and I want to welcome everybody. It's April 9th, and we're now into the month of April. And folks, well, I don't have any special guests tonight, but boy, I sure do have some update information, and I think that's something that you would all like to hear tonight. I always want to start out and say thank you. Thank you for all of you who listen to the radio program. Thank you for all of you who send the wonderful emails my way with the encouragement. It's always so wonderful, you know, to hear that. And to say thank you for all of you who put your trust in me, that you are willing to say you want to be on my newsletter list. And folks, I also just say, if you don't want to be there at any time, you can always choose to unsubscribe. That's the wonder of what we get to have here, is that we each get to choose. It's our freedom to choose however we want to participate in this. We can choose to listen, to not listen, to agree, to disagree, all the different things that are out there that are available for all of us. And that's the one of the wonderful things that we get to all experience as we live in this wonderful country called America. Okay, well, last week, before I get into the details of what happened last week, let me give you a couple administrative announcements. Again, this is the Sedona Connection. My website is thesedonaconnection.com. My name is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host. I live in Sedona, Arizona. I think it's one of the most wonderful places on this beautiful planet of ours. I absolutely love where I live there. I've lived there for about a year and a half, and many of you know I used to live in the Seattle area. I lived in the Seattle area for 32 years. That was great. It was home. I'd love to be in there for the time that I was there. You know, and there comes a point in time in our lives we're all ready for a shift and a change. And I moved to Sedona, Arizona, and that's my home. But tonight, I'm not in Sedona. I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. Actually, I'm in one of the suburbs of Salt Lake City. I'm in Salt Lake City area tonight. But back to SedonaConnection.com. If you want to receive my newsletter, you go to that website, thesedonaconnection.com, and in the right-hand column, there's a little tab that says Join Our Newsletter List. All you have to do is click on that tab, fill out the information, and you will be automatically receiving the newsletters. In fact, you will get a confirmation email as well. I use Constant Contact is what I do for the sources that are there, okay? And folks, also, I just want you to know is that, okay, first of all, for those of you that are already calling in and you're already signed up and saying that you want to come on the air, now, if you're new to this, what I normally do, I'm going to talk for about the first half hour. I give updates, I give news, I give opinion, I give out resources as is necessary. So we do that. I will basically be, this will be an information time to let you folks know what is going on. And then I will give about a 3 or 4 minute notice before it's time to go on the air, which by would mean that I will start receiving callers. So that way, you don't have to call in and be hanging on with that phone up to your ear for a half hour to 45 minutes or an hour waiting to know are you going to be able to get on the line. Okay, so here's the scoop. Well, last week I was supposed to have 3 guests on the program and I ended up having 2. And boy, did it create a firestorm, because last week many of you knew about, oh, you know, Oki. He posts on the blog sites on a regular basis, and he was going to come on the air. And I announced that about 3 hours before I found out he was going to be a guest on the air, and he was going to come through the other guy by the name of Piff, because they had talked with him. And I made a comment that he didn't come on the air because of the fact that his life had been threatened. Well, you know what? And after the program, I picked up the phone, I called Oki, I talked with Oki directly, and that's exactly what he said. So that's why he did not come on the air. It isn't worth anybody that if their life is going to be threatened to be able to come on the air and to make an announcement. Somebody obviously didn't like the fact that he was of what he was going to say. That's another issue. If you notice, he's been kind of quiet. He has not said anything. He did not put out a statement. He's choosing to not do that because it's just not worth creating the controversy. You just let the old stuff die. And I am one of those firm believers that, folks, truth will always win out in the end. It always will. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for that to unfold. But what I did have was another gentleman, he goes by the nickname of Piff. And that is an acronym for something that he has made and to be a part of his life, and it's called Pay It Forward. That's what he does. He's constantly giving away and paying forward to so many other people what he does. He gives away dinar, he gives away dong, he gives away money is what he does. He has done that as a lifestyle, and that's he goes by that nickname. And we had another special guest on the air. And this guy, we really could not give out his true identity because he went by a nickname of G-Man. He basically is a representative of what is called the United States Treasury Interface Team. I will get into that in a little bit later, okay, for what is taking place there. And as what I said in my newsletter today, I understand sometimes how we can become frustrated because we feel that the only place we're getting our information is in written form on the blog sites. And folks, I try to take that an extra step. Of all the main folks that are posting, you know, I'm the only one that uses my real name. And I also use videos so you can actually see who I am. Because there is something about that we want to trust that something is going on. We want to be able to believe that this is real. When it seems to be something that is so ethereal and we can't quite get a grasp on everything that's taking place. And I want to know that too. So I already absolutely believe for myself that the two gentlemen that I am in contact with who are in the process, and that's the key word, process of carrying out private transactions on the dinar. I absolutely believe them. I absolutely trust them. I have no reason to not doubt them, but I'm always taking it the extra step to get what is called extra verification. So I decided to do something this week. I decided to take a road trip. Now, my job is predominantly done on the internet, so as long as I can be in a hotel room and work on the internet, I'm fine. And tonight, I'm doing that. I'm sitting in a hotel room on the internet in a suburb of Salt Lake City because I wanted to come here and get some verification of what is going on. I wanted to get some better understanding of the gentleman who was on the air with me, Piff, and some better understanding of the reliability and the accuracy and the truth of this G-Man of what was really going on. And I've been able to do that. And folks, you can believe whatever it is you want to believe. And there's some blog writers out there that are pretty upset because of the fact that they've been saying, well, this isn't true. This guy doesn't exist. There was a scam that went on. You know, it's amazing how quickly jealousies will arise when the truth comes out. And you heard me correctly with that. It's amazing how quickly jealousies will arise when the truth comes out, and that ended up being a challenge to someone else's position. I'm not going to say anything more than that. I'm going to let it be. They're going to say what they want to say. They're going to do what they want to do. I'm going to come here to do the absolute best that I can. I'm going to speak the truth. I'm going to allow that to come out. If they have their problems with it, then that is their problem. I'm going to let it be at that. Because I've come to the point of absolutely believing that these two gentlemen who are working these private transactions, private contracts, and that's the key, is not something that's available to the public, that there is a reason behind why that is happening with them. Now, let me do this. I want to start and I want to give a little bit of a background. This whole concept of private transactions, why has this been taking so long? And why has there been delay after delay after delay? There are various reasons for the delays, but the one predominant reason has been because of the tension that is taking place between certain selective members of the United States government and the International Monetary Fund. There are people involved, what I call black hats, within the United States government that just plain do not want this global currency reset to take place. Why? Because they lose their power. They lose their control. And There's also its attention with the International Monetary Fund, and they have been doing basically everything they can to keep it delayed and delayed. Now, on the outside, on the public notice, there have been negotiations that have been going on with the International Monetary Fund, and they want to restructure the voting rights of that organization. And see, right now, the United States basically has veto power over anything that goes on through the IMF. So what does that really mean? It means that the IMF is basically a United States-controlled organization, and all the other 180-plus countries have to submit to whatever it is that the United States wants. When this organization was created, it wasn't all that bad of an idea in its background. And it's because also most of the other countries around the world just didn't have what you would consider the financial capability or the financial strength to be able to have that type of what you would call a balance in the voting power. But there has things have developed. I mean, they've changed in the last 10 years, 15 years, however long you want to talk about it. There have been what are called emerging market countries, and they are becoming much stronger. And on the other hand, the United States, along with six other countries in the G7, they have lost their financial strength because they're so far in debt. All of the G7 countries are theoretically bankrupt. They are in debt beyond their ability to recover. They will never be able to, through economic growth and taxation, pay back their debt. And they're all based on fiat currencies, currencies that they just print up at will because the money is good based on the good faith of the government. Well, the good faith of the United States government economically isn't very good anymore. And the rest of these countries know that. And so they have stepped up and said, we want to restructure the voting balance and power of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, because of the fact that U.S., we can't trust you anymore because you've been so irresponsible in how you have used your money because you've taken yourself into such deep debt. Because if you go down, you pull all of us down with you. And it's no longer what is called a fair and balanced, viable situation to have the United States totally in control of the IMF. There are representatives of the U.S. government that do agree with that. And there are others that don't. But to change that, it had to go through Congress. And the U.S. Senate voted to do it, and the House of Representatives said no. So with that, basically the IMF said, U.S. government, we're going to give you one more chance. But really, with my estimation, what's going on behind the scenes? The 180-nation coalition, which is led by the BRIC countries, and that's an acronym that stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Those countries have basically said, U.S., it's time to play ball. It's time to understand that you don't have your financial power anymore. And if you aren't going to allow us to restructure, we may just choose to go on our own. They're basically saying, United States, we don't need you anymore. We're not going to play your indebtedness game. And we want to bring the rest of the world to an economic balance, to an economic equity, and allow other emerging market countries, to allow other people around the world to improve their lifestyles through economic improvement. And you've been oppressing us basically for decades and keeping us in an oppressed position, and we don't want that anymore. We're going to step up and say either play ball with us or we're going to go do it on our own. And that's this tension that has been going on that has been creating the delay in the revalue, predominantly first of the Iraqi dinar, and then secondly of the global currency reset. That's the main reason why this has taken so long. Now, there's another issue that is developing in there. And you heard this. Now, but before I talk about the other issue, let's talk about what happens here in the United States. There is a logistical funnel, if that's the correct term to use, that all foreign currencies flow through here in the United States. When foreign currency comes into the country or leaves the country, it goes through a funnel of a government agency, and that agency is the United States Treasury. When you take, let's use a Canadian $100 bill as an example. When you take a Canadian $100 bill into a bank and say, I want to exchange this and I want U.S. dollars for this, the bank gives you what is the current rate based on the international foreign exchange market, and it's on their computer screen, and that teller is going to look at it and say, okay, this is what the current rate is, and then they're going to give you that. And that teller is going to take that $100 Canadian bill, and they're going to set it aside, and then that bank sends it to its headquarters, and then that headquarters bundles up all of their Canadian currency and then sends that currency to the U.S. Treasury. And then the U.S. Treasury reimburses that bank for the current exchange rate. The U.S. Treasury then collects all of the foreign currency from around the country and then ships it to that country, who in return gives them a fair estimation value. So when you basically cash in or exchange a Canadian $100 bill, it's going to make its way back to Canada through the U.S. Treasury. So you see, the U.S. Treasury is the logistical agency that handles the flow of all the foreign currency in and out of the United States. So don't you think they are also going to be on top of all the flow of the Iraqi dinar in the United States? Of course they are. If you have purchased Iraqi dinar, and if you purchased it through a broker, because remember, the dinar is a currency that is currently not tradable on the open foreign exchange market. That is why today you cannot take it into a bank, and the bank cannot exchange it for you. But you can purchase it, and you purchase it through various brokers predominantly. Now, there are side places like eBay that actually sell it. Personally, myself, I would not purchase dinar off of eBay because there is some counterfeit dinar currency out there. But if you purchase it through a broker, well, where do you think the broker gets it? Do you think that they all have individual contracts with the Central Bank of Iraq and the Central Bank of Iraq is sending the currency? No. It comes through the U.S. Treasury. They basically have an account. Now, yes, maybe it may be shipped directly from the Central Bank of Iraq, but it's going to flow through the Treasury. The Treasury knows this currency has to clear through customs. It has to clear through the authorization of the Treasury, and all these brokers are authorized by the U.S. Treasury. These brokers are also reporting to the U.S. Treasury how many people are purchasing and how much dinar currency they have sold. So the U.S. Treasury has an accounting. They know how much dinar is here in the United States to be exchanged. They also know how many people here in the United States have purchased dinar. So they're going to be able to have an idea of what is the flow going to be like when this whole situation, when the Iraqi dinar revalues and people want to cash it in or exchange it. Now, it's hard to quantify those numbers because sometimes individuals like you and me or whoever, we may purchase some dinar, and then we'll go around and give it away to somebody. We'll give it to family members. We'll give it to friends. We'll just give it away to somebody, you know, at the tip at a restaurant and say, hey, save this. It's going to be worth a lot of money. Who knows what? Now, last fall, it was estimated there were between 2 and 3 million people in the United States that had purchased dinar. But guess what's happened since last fall? And I asked this of G-Man on the radio program last week, because he's in a position to know what those numbers are, because he's basically a representative of the U.S. Treasury interface team that's conducting these private transactions that are going on. And I says, I bet you there's 10 to 12 million people out there that has purchased dinar. Is that a correct estimate? And he said, yes, it is. And you know what that really means? There's close to 20 million people now in the United States that have dinar that are waiting basically to exchange it when the exchange takes place. For that reason, now, can you imagine, that creates an absolute logjam, if not a pandemonium, if not even a chaos at the banks when people want to go and exchange when it goes public. So for that reason, these U.S. Treasury interface teams have been conducting private exchanges to take a lot of the dinar off the street. Now, what have they been doing this? These have not been with individuals. They have predominantly been with humanitarian aid organizations, or if they are with individuals, it's individuals who have a very large sum. And why? Because this is the report that's coming from them. All dinar in the larger denominations will have to be run through a Deliveroo machine. And they will not make an exception to that. Why? Because it is reported that there are some groups that have printed up counterfeit dinar. Now, as the information has come to me, those dinar are not out in circulation because right now they're pretty much worthless. It's like, you know, a tenth of a penny per dinar. So they are not out there in circulation. But what they have done is they do anticipate that that counterfeit dinar, once it revalues, is going to come out into circulation because now it's going to be worth the market rate. That is why all the banks are saying all the dinar has to be run through a Deliveroo machine. It's not the banks. It's basically the U.S. Treasury is saying it's got to be run through the Deliveroo machine. Now, we've been able to say, and this is not just me, it's coming from multiple different sources that are saying, they're already saying, the public rate is going to be $3.71. Can you imagine why a bank says, I want to make sure that that dinar is authenticated? This is a currency that has not been out in general circulation. It has not been, you know, it's not been exchanged around the world. It is a currency they know there's going to be some counterfeit out there. You take a 25K note, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, that thing is going to be worth close to, what, $85,000, $90,000. Of course the bank is going to authenticate it. They're not going to take the risk that they could have a counterfeit one slip in there, and the next thing you know, they've lost $90,000. So, folks, what do you think that is going to do when 20,000 people are going to have to run their dinar through the Deliveroo machine? And how many Deliveroo machines do you think there are out there to basically, you know, authenticate the dinar? Now, first of all, what is a Deliveroo machine? Deliveroo is the name of the company in Great Britain that prints up the Iraqi dinar. They don't not only do that for Iraq, they are the largest foreign currency printing company in the world, and they basically print currencies for the vast majority of smaller countries that don't want to run their own printing presses because they don't have that large of a demand for it. See, in contrast with the United States, the government runs their own printing agencies. So it's the Deliveroo company that does that. And they've been doing this since the late 1800s. Well, they also have these machines that are laser reading machines that can read the currency. And supposedly these machines can count about 4 billion dinar per hour. So can you imagine with the fact that there is reported to be between 45 and 50 trillion dinar out there floating around in the United States, how long it's going to take to run it through those machines? You see the logjam that is there? Folks, this is not, once the RV goes public, this is not going to be a simple process. So these private transactions, the main reason for them has been wanting to pull off trillions and trillions of dinar off the street so that you and I, the everyday folks that may only have 100,000, 200,000, aren't going to have to compete with them, standing in line with them, waiting for these Deliveroo machines to become available to basically have our dinar authenticated. That's another one of the reasons why for the delays. It wasn't that big of an issue last fall when there was only estimated to be around 2 to 3 million who were purchased. But they were out reprogramming these machines, manufacturing these machines, and then all of a sudden they had come to the point in realizing they couldn't catch up. It's like to the point, we can't do it. And so they've been having to rework the logistics to get this done. And here's what I know. this U.S. Treasury interface team has pretty much operated quietly behind the scenes using NDAs, and hardly anybody knew of their existence. And it's just been in the last month that they have opened up. And these two gentlemen that I know that are going to be basically exchanging for them, they are also gentlemen that have very large humanitarian aid organizations that they are using, but they also had a really large network with other people who were holding dinar. And the gentleman that I had on my radio program last week, Piff, is the one who does that. He had a network of close to 5,000 people. And the Treasury had said, we're going to open this up because we want to take large sums of dinar off the street. And that is what he has been able to do through his network of people. And that's why these private transactions are going on. Now, here's the other scoop, folks. It's not just me. You've seen reports from Mountain Goat, from Zap, posted on dinar recaps by various sources on Exogen's S3alpha.net. They're all saying that all of their sources that they have are saying it's any day now that it's going to go public. This is my opinion. We thought it was going to happen in the last couple of days. In my estimation, they waited just a little bit more because today the IMF is having international meetings in Washington, D.C. for 3 days, and they started today. And it may be that they want to work out some last-minute stuff on the logistics or basically negotiated agreements before this thing goes public. And that might be the reason why. Now, what can I tell you of what has been developing in this process? I've been in Salt Lake City now. This is my second day. I spent about 4 hours with Piff yesterday and about 4 hours with him today because I wanted to know as well what's really going on. He is the guy who has developed the network with the gentleman you heard last week called G-Man. I've been able to listen on their phone conversations. Those two gentlemen have been having phone conversations by the hours. By the hours, okay? Now, what's developing is they are about ready to go. And this is how it is being explained, how I have heard it secondhand. And I'm telling you secondhand, okay? When this goes public, the rate's going to be 371. And here's the word coming down. Wells Fargo Bank has an exclusive contract for the first 20 days. Now, G-Man mentioned that last week on the air. They have an exclusive contract for the first 20 days. If that local Wells Fargo Bank has a Deliroo machine, you will be able to have your dinar authenticated and you will be able to have that money placed into your bank account. If they do not have a Deliroo machine, the local bank that you go into, they will count your currency, they will give you a receipt for it, and then they will ship it off to a location that has a machine, and then you will probably have to wait somewhere between 20 to 30 days before you will get your money. But here's the other thing. Not all of the currency has to go through the machines. The lower denominations, they are going to allow them to be credited on the 50 dinar, the 250 dinar, the 500, and the 1,000 dinar notes. They will allow you to accredit those on the spot. The tellers will be trained to recognize them. They will be able to do their little test on it, and they will say, yes, this is good, and they will give you that credit on the spot. You will not have to do that. Wells Fargo has the exclusive for 20 days. Now, do you think there's going to be a backup at Wells Fargo? Yeah, I would anticipate that there would be. So when this goes public, folks, yeah, I don't know how they're going to work it. I don't know if Wells Fargo is going to require an 800 number. I don't know if Wells Fargo is going to require appointments. But I do think it's going to be quite obvious that they're going to have some sort of a security control on how this process is going to be carried out. That just makes common sense, and it's for your security as well as the bank's security. You've heard me say this before. The last thing you want is 30 to 40 people lined up outside of the door all holding over $1 million worth of dinar, waiting in line to have their money counted at a Delaware machine at a bank where it's located. You want to talk about a security problem? Imagine that word gets out and some crooks, some criminals, get some of their buddies together and they all go get automatic weapons and they drive up in this van and they say, give me your dinar. Give me your dinar. You're talking about them walking away with $100 million in dinar because you're going to be standing in line allowing yourself to become a target. So, of course, that is not going to be a realistic situation. Now, can I tell you all of the details of that? No, not ready, not really. I don't know all of that, and I'm drawing the scenario for you to let you know what is happening. But that's the information that is coming down. That's the scenario that is going to unfold. Now, they want to get this dinar off the street. They wanted to get it exchanged as quickly as possible. Now, here's another thing that I'm understanding. There's all kinds of different debate is the GCR, the global currency reset, because remember, the RV revalue has predominantly been referred to the Iraqi dinar. That's about a single country totally revaluing their currency. The global currency reset is all of the 180 plus nations around the world resetting their currencies based on assets, backed by certain assets. And out of that, we know there are three countries whose currencies are out of balance, not counting the dinar, three other countries where the currencies are way out of balance with the rest of the world. That's the Vietnamese dong, the Indonesian rupiah, and the Zimbabwe dollar. The word is those are going to be done incrementally. Now, this is all subject to change, folks. It's all subject to change because this stuff changes almost daily, if not weekly, because of the different scenarios that are involved. But as of now, it looks like there will be a small, about 1 week before the dong comes on board. And folks, I can tell you right now, this is also the word. Once the dinar revalues, the word is you will not be able to go out and purchase dong. They will shut it down so that you can't do double dipping. So once the dinar revalues, the Vietnamese dong is going to be shut down. You will not be able to purchase any more. But it will be 1 week later, approximately 1 week later, remember it's subject to change, that this is going to then, you will be able to take that dong into a bank. Now, what's different with the dong? The dong is currently a currency that is tradable on the open foreign exchange market. You can go down to a bank and purchase dong today if they have it in stock. And you can take your dong into a bank and convert it at the current rate for U.S. dollars. It's not worth very much today. 21,000 dong to a dollar roughly is what it is. So there's not a reasonable reason of why you would want to do that when it's going to turn around and revalue very soon, very quickly. When that happens, you will be able to take the dong into any bank. And the dong does not have to go through a Delaware machine. You just take it in. And here's what's interesting. We've estimated 10, 12 million people in the United States have purchased dinar. But it's not anywhere near close as number of people who have purchased dong. You see, the only people who really are talking about the dong are those of you who are listening to this radio program, who are reading the newsletters, who are reading the blog sites that are out there. And that's only estimated somewhere between 200,000 and 400,000 people who are doing that on a regular basis. And it's predominantly just those people who have purchased dong. So the dong is not as big of an issue. But man, when you look at the return on the dollar, it's a much better deal. Okay? Now, I'm not at liberty to quote rates. I have heard rates that has come out of the U.S. Treasury interface team. I'm not at liberty to quote those rates at this time. But let's just say this. You're going to be happy, okay? I'm also going to say don't expect a high exorbitant rate. Folks, that just ain't going to happen. That is just not realistic. when people were talking $3, $5, $6, the rates are not up there, okay? They're just not there, the rates that I am being told about. But when you can go to a bank and pay about $55 and get $1 million, I'm a happy camper at a penny. You think that isn't a good return on your money? Now, that is not saying that that's where the rates are going to be, folks. They're actually, they're much better than that. But don't expect the high exorbitant rate. That is just not going to happen. But here's what I want to say. And folks, if there's ever a time in this two-hour program to be listening, you've stepped away, this is what you want to hear, okay? It's not going to come out tonight. But if you want to be on a list, as of now, it's subject to change, but as of now, the U.S. Treasury Transition Team, the Interface Team, is saying they are going to allow people to open up to a private rate exchange for the DOM. It's going to be a very small window of opportunity. It may only be somewhere between 3 to 5 days. And you will have to be able to get on a list of the people who are conducting the transaction as the facilitators. And the gentleman that I have met with here in the Salt Lake City area, who went by PIF, who was on the radio program last week, he is that facilitator. He is the one who's going to be conducting that. Now, here's what's nice. He is going to send out an email list. You will have to fill out a form, and it's that simple. You do not, and I want to repeat this, you do not have to turn over your DOM currency. You will keep that currency in your possession, and don't you dare turn over your DOM or dinar currency to anybody who's conducting a private transaction without having some sort of an authentication. And that should only be in an extremely rare situation would you do that. It's because those people have been vetted, authenticated, and you trust them with your life. In a situation other than that, you never want to turn over your currency to anybody. But here's what it is. This list is going to be a list that is going to be available. It's going to be a very small window of opportunity. You will be able to get on the list, and you will have to fill out a simple form. The form is very simple. The only thing it's asking for is your name, your email, and then how much DOM that you have. There's a couple other windows in that form to fill out, but those are basically all optional. But here's what you need to know. If you don't trust that, you don't have to do it. But here's the point, folks. You're never going to give up your currency. You're working with a person who has already vetted the people from the U.S. Treasury Interface Team. You're working with a person who has already worked with thousands of people in a private transaction with the dinar. And by being on the list, that is going to be a priority list, you will then be eligible for the private group rate, the private rate transaction. Now, when I was talking with PIF today, we were in discussions that would it be good for me to be one of those facilitators, and we came to a conclusion, no, it would not be. But I am allowed to be. Any of you who are on my newsletter list, you will have to be signed up in my newsletter. I will be able to email to you through my newsletter that sign-up list. Now, PIF already has a staff of close to 20 people who are conducting all this current business for him, and they will conduct this list as well. The U.S. Treasury Interface Team is conducting the DOM differently than the dinar because of the types of currencies that they are. Everything that's going to go on with the DOM is basically being done on computers and in a simplified form to qualify you for this private transaction rate. Nobody's forcing you to do it. It's coming down to, do you want to basically give to PIF your name, your email, and how much DOM that you have? You will never give up the currency. You will walk into a bank to exchange the currency at a bank but you will be qualified to have it at a higher rate. That's the difference, folks. You can choose to go into the bank on your own and get the public rate, or you can choose to allow PIF to have your name, your email, and how much dong that you have. The reason he has that, because they need to have an idea of how much money that needs to be transacted. Now, let me tell you what that means. The U.S. Treasury is conducting all of this in a very legal manner, and they have set up a legal representative who is called a paymaster. The paymaster is the individual who is authorized by the U.S. Treasury to release the funds to the various individuals. I met today and spent about an hour and a half with the paymaster that is conducting the dinar transactions PIF is involved in. That was part of my vetting process of why I took this road trip here to the Salt Lake City area. I was able to vet out PIF himself. I was able to vet out the G-man, and I was able to vet out the paymaster, and I was also allowed to read the private contract, all 26 pages of the private contract that was taking place between the facilitator, i.e. PIF, and the U.S. Treasury Interface Team. I did my work. Now, I know some of you are going to criticize me. Some of you are going to go ballistic. Some of you are going to basically say, you're lying. You know what, folks? I'm at the point, I don't care. It's your issue, not mine. I've done my work. If you want to trust that, it's totally your choice. But here's what you need to do. If you want to be on that list to be eligible for a private group rate, you need to sign up and be on my newsletter list. Go to my blog site, thesedonaconnection.com. In right-hand column is where you can sign up to be on my newsletter. And I will send that information out via email to those that are on my newsletter list. And I'm telling you up front, I am not getting paid a dime or a penny for this. I get no kickbacks. I don't get any extra money out of this whatsoever. I'm choosing to do it because it's what I like to do, and it's a way that I can help. And the other thing is, if you've heard some of my past radio broadcasts, I'm an absolute firm believer in wanting everyday people, middle class and less people, everyday moms and pops, to become wealthy through this process of the global currency reset. It is what is good for us as a world. It is what is good for us as a country. It is what is good for us as a human race to have millions and millions and millions of people become overnight millionaires through this process. That's why I'm doing this. I don't need to worry about my money. I've already got enough. I've purchased my dinar and dong. I've got dinar and dong on reserves. I don't need to worry about any of that. Because, you know, some of you will send me emails and you say, should I purchase some more? And I will come back and I say, I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that for yourself. But I always say, how much do you need? There is a point that you can have too much money that it will not give you a sense of peace and satisfaction. It will create more hassle, chaos, and problems in your lives. What I tell folks is, what are you going to do with your money? Have you sat down and wrote out a list of your goals and your dreams and your desires of what you would do with all of that money? If you don't know that, if you don't know on a general basis, not, of course it's not the exact dollar, but are you going to purchase a house? Are you going to give, you know, are you going to purchase some new cars? Are you going to give some away to your family? Are you going to put some into a trust? Are you going to put some into an annuity? And then what are you going to give away to basically nonprofit organizations? Are you going to do something other than just let it collect zeros in your bank account? Because if you think you're just going to be able to get this money and get rich and let it collect zeros in your bank accounts, I think you're going to be a sad individual. Because this type of wealth is a new type of a wealth. This is about creating a new paradigm for us in the human race. This is not about a few select couple million people getting rich. This is about changing our world. This is a world historic changing event. So you have an opportunity, and I want you folks to be able to participate. So that's why I'm opening myself up as well to be a conduit of this information. Now, may I please ask you something? Now that I've said that, please do not send me an email asking me about rates, dates, specifics, details, and what to do, because I am going to get swamped with emails, and folks, I will not be able to answer them all. After the radio program last week, within just a little over about 30 hours, I had received close to 900 emails. Folks, I cannot answer all of those emails. So if you start sending emails asking me petty questions, I can't answer that for you, okay? So you need to please do your own homework. Please don't send me emails with petty stuff, because I'm at the point where I can't handle the volume anymore. And all you're doing is you're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting the others who have legitimate issues and legitimate questions of emails I would like to answer. I'm going to send you that information. I will send you the link of where you sign up. And all you're going to do is give your name, your email, and how much dong that you have. There's other few other items that are optional. You don't have to do that. But don't ask me questions about those details, because I am not the administrator of that process, okay? Now, I want to make this statement. Last week, PIF had opened up the opportunity for you to be involved in the dinar transaction, and you had to send him an email. Within 24 hours, he received close to 4,000 emails. As of now, folks, that is not going to happen. Don't expect to be able to be involved in his dinar private transaction, because that window is closing. And it's too many names. He cannot process them all. But it was in conversation that PIF had with the representative from the U.S. Treasury Interface team, because there were lots of people that wanted to be involved in that, and that was not going to happen. That is why they opened up this small window for you folks to participate in the DOM. So that's what they're doing. You are not, as of now, you are not going to be able to participate in the dinar exchange, but you are going to be allowed to have a small window to participate in the dong exchange. And the folks with the Treasury Interface team understand what's happening. You see, they want more moms and pops involved in this global currency reset, because they know what it does. It stimulates the economy. If you take a person who already has a net worth of $10 million, and he adds another $50 million to his net worth, what is it going to do? He's not going to go out and spend all that money. He's just going to add more zeros to his bank accounts. But if you take everyday people like you and me who end up getting $50 million, we're going to go out and spend a lot of that money. And they want that money being spent because it stimulates the economy. It creates jobs all around the world. And that's why they're opening up this window of opportunity for some people to participate in this. They are also realistic enough to know that they cannot open this up to the world, okay? So please, may I ask you, don't be sending me all your petty questions that I cannot answer. I am not a part of PIF's administrative team, okay? I'm not. So I cannot answer all of those questions. All right. That's a lot, folks. That's what's developing. I'm at the point, I know I'm going to get the criticisms. The other blog sites are saying don't know what I'm talking about. You know, that's their problem. They don't have the contacts that I have. They haven't been able to develop those networks. I'm not saying I'm the best at it. I'm just telling you what I know. I'm telling you as I understand it. And I'm bringing it to you to have an opportunity. That is the background. That is the information. That is what is developed. That is what is happening. And folks, as individuals, get to have a choice. And I'll just say this one thing. What is your risk of giving your name, your email, and how much dong you have to be able to basically get something that looks like it's going to be 3 times the street rate? That's it. If you don't want to participate in it, don't participate. If you want to hold on your dinar and your dong and take it into the bank and get to the street rate, that's totally your choice. You do what you're comfortable with. You do what feels good to you. And be thankful for it. It's what I said basically in the newsletter today. Opportunity to participate in a multi-millennial historical event. To change our lives. To change this world. And if there's anything, I think we should all be coming in with gratitude and thankfulness. And let go of the petty griping and complaining and name-calling and all those things that just don't serve anybody. They just don't serve anybody. How much money do you need? Is it a matter of greed? Are you falling into the old trap of greed that you got to have more, got to have more, got to have more than the other person? You have to be right. You have to be the one who's saying everything. Please, that's the old paradigm of a world that we're wanting to undo and let go of. We're wanting to move into a world where we are creating peace. We're creating love. We're creating abundance for all. We're helping each other. We're living in harmony with each other. I don't want to be living in a world where I've got zeros lined up behind my bank account, but the next thing I know, I'm having to put bars on my doors and windows and have a gun in every room to protect myself because the rest of the world's falling into poverty. And they're getting mad and angry at me because I got money. What kind of a life is that? Is it really worth it? You see, money is just a tool. It's a neutral, independent tool. And it's all about what are you going to choose to do with it? Are you going to choose to take this tool and make it a better world for all of us? Are you going to choose to take this tool and become greedy and collect more zeros behind your bank accounts, thinking that you're in a safe and secure place? We're coming to a point, folks, where the world can't hide from the world. The wealthy and the greedy, that who I call the cabal, can't hide from us anymore. And we're starting as a collective human race. We're learning more. We're educating ourselves. We're changing. And we're rising up to saying we want a better world for ourselves and for our children. And those of us who live in better countries like America, it's time for us to step up and realize that we have a responsibility to something that's called the human race. We live in a world where about 60% of the world's population lives on less than $5 a day. Don't you think it's time for others to have equity and equality as well? It's not about a lack of money. There's enough money out there. There's enough gold out there around the world to be able to give somewhere between $20 and $25 million to every man, woman, and child on this planet. But it's never been released because they knew that there was a select few that were filled with greed and a lust and an addiction, power, and control. That's been the history of the human race. As a human race, our history has been one of a very select few controlling the masses and keeping them in an oppressed position. It's been millennia of kings, monarchs, and dictators living lavishly and controlling the masses and keeping them in an oppressed state. We had a small shift and change in that about 250 years ago when the United States started this new, whole new democracy. where the people were able to rise up and select their own leaders. And then that has spread to many countries around the world. But here's what's interesting. At that same time is when money started shifting and changing. And it's when the rulers and the controllers realized, okay, we can't feed our addiction to greed and power through dictatorships and monarchs and kings, so now we'll do it through controlling the world's money supply. That's exactly what they've done. So they now have turned over to using money. Because try to get anything in this life without money. Almost everything that you need in one way or another costs money, with the exception of the air that you breathe. You want water? Well, you can maybe go find a stream, but for the vast majority of the people, to have good, clean, running water in a civilized community, it takes money. Food takes money. Clothing takes money. Shelter takes money. Transportation takes money. Almost everything in our lives takes money. So they knew if they could control the money supply, they could control the people. That's what's about to change. And that's why I want to see you participating in this. I don't get any money out of this. I don't make anything out of this. I don't care about that. One of the most satisfying things to me personally is knowing that I'm helping you. I want to see you become an overnight millionaire. I want to see you be somebody who steps up and will take the time also after you get that $1 million to educate yourself of how to be a millionaire, how to be responsible with your money. And you're being given an opportunity to have a small window to step up and to participate in that. It's your choice. In the end, it's always about our choices. That's all that it is. So folks, okay, I'm ready to shift. I'm ready to shift and start going to the callers now. We're about 1 hour into the program. That was my 1 hour monologue. And thank you for listening. You know, I love what I do here. I appreciate your all the support that you have sent my way. And it's an enjoyable time. And can before we go to callers, can I do this also? I want to make a small break. Obviously, I've got the workshop coming up in Philadelphia on April 27th. There's still lots of seats that are available to that. It's a one-day workshop. The individual rate is $99. If you come as a couple, it's $79 per person. It's for 1 day. We had one a couple of weeks ago, the first one in Dallas-Fort Worth, and folks, almost everybody there absolutely loved it. I can't even begin to tell you all the comments, the emails, what people said of what took place there, and because they realized it was helpful for them. It was helping them through the next step, but most of all, it was the energy of the environment, of the people in the room, and everything they brought, and the network that they're developing with each other. That's what's important for us in taking our next step. Okay, the RV takes place and you get your money. Then what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And it's my way of being able to share with you my knowledge, my experience to help you through this process. Okay, I'm going to go to one caller and then I'm going to come back to Piff is going to come on the air for a couple minutes. But first of all, I'm going to go ahead and take another caller. I'm going to a caller. It's the area code 956. I'm coming to you. You're here first. Area code 956, you're on the air. What's your name and what can I help you with?
Hi, this is Diana. How are you? I am from Laredo, Texas.
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, your exposition was really clear. I mean, it was like educational. I knew pretty much everything you said, but you said it in a way that is very good for the majority of the people. Second, I have one question of mine. I thought I wasn't going to ask anything, but I have another question of a friend. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. My question is, you said that when do you think, better yet, that the public will public transactions are going to be available next week? When do you think this is going to happen? Because you didn't mention...
Based on...
What do you think? I know it is not written on a stone. I know that. So I just...
No. No, and I'm telling you, based on my contact that I have with the U.S. Mm-hmm. Treasury and four other people that have contacts with the U.S. Treasury, it could be any day. Any day. Now, I do not know those details. I do not know the exact stuff. There is probably some stuff that is still going on behind the scene that's working through. But based on four different people that I talk with or have contacts with, that all have contacts within the U.S. Treasury, they are saying any day.
Okay.
Not the private, but
you know, the public.
Yeah,
the
any day.
Can be any day, any moment.
The public can go before the private transaction is consummated.
Oh,
they can
okay.
be taking place simultaneously. The private, they are at the point. Oh, and thank you. Now let me clarify that, because a lot of people thought that the private transactions had to be completed. They're at the point now that they're past that point. They could actually start the public transactions where people will be going into the banks, and yet the private transaction may take a couple days beyond that to be completed.
Oh,
so I mean,
there may be
people getting public money before some of these private people get it.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's why I'm asking, because I've been told that it has to finish all the private and then to start the public. That's why I was curious.
And that's what has been said. And thank you for helping me clarify that, because that is what has been said in the past, and that just shifted this past week.
Okay, now I'm going to make a question of a friend called John. He is asking this. Is there any other places in the U.S. that a private exchange might be able to occur through PIF's people? It would stand to reason that they would have to do that at least one in the East Coast location. He sent me three questions, so that's the first one. Is there any other...
Thank you for clarifying that. There are some other private group transactions that are taking place, but they are not with the U.S. Treasury interface teams. Those are private groups that have been put together, and they are carrying on their transactions with the government of China. There are some of those. Many of those have already fallen apart. And the two gentlemen that I have met with that I know personally that are working these transactions with the Treasury interface teams, they both had been involved in private contracts and transactions with the government of China, and they fell apart. A lot of these with the government of China are falling apart. I don't have any details on that side of it. So that is where some of the confusion is developing, because you have two different organizations out there that are carrying on private transactions. I do not have intel and information on the private ones with the government of China. So I can't
through PIF's people. He wanted specifically if there are in other places, for instance, in the East Coast. But I think what you
not
said was... No, but you said, that's understood, that if you would go to the bank near you, if you get into that, is that what you just said?
You go to a bank for a public transaction. Now we're talking the difference between dinar and dong. For the dinar, if you want the private rate, it has to be through one of those two private groups, and those groups are pretty much closed. You will then be able to take your dinar to a bank. Unless you are involved in one of the private groups with the government of China. Those are very few. Many of those have already been attempted. A lot of them have fallen apart. Okay. The U.S. Treasury interface team, the dinar opportunities for private is pretty much closed. The dong, I do not know of any other outside what I call private groups other than the U.S. Treasury interface team that is going to conduct the dong. And as of now, it's going to be a very small window of opportunity.
Okay. Now, the next question said, also, the bank they are using, you are committed to go to with them since they are doing the transaction. The bank would have to be Wells Fargo since they have the 20-day exclusive, you know, period?
In the first 20 days, yes.
Okay, and the last question is, if it's not Wells, let's say it is Citibank, how long would it take to move funds? Are you trapped with the bank that processes you?
It all depends. It all depends on whether or not they have a Deloro machine. You see, the bank has to send the currencies they transact to the U.S. Treasury. And so the U.S. Treasury is not going to accept anything from any bank that has not gone through a Deloro machine, except the lower denomination. That is an exception. All of the higher denominations have to go through a Deloro machine. So here is what I have been told. Let's say you do not use Wells Fargo, and I'm saying do not use Wells Fargo in the first 20 days, and you choose to go into another bank, and we'll use Chase as an example. If you go into a Chase bank that has a Deloro machine, they can authenticate it on the spot, and the bank is satisfied, then the bank can credit your account immediately. If not, the process is the bank will basically count your currency, will bundle it up, will give you a receipt, and will send it either to a Deloro machine where they have one at one of their locations, or send it to the U.S. Treasury to be authenticated. And then they would end up, once they authenticate it, they will wire the money to your bank account, but that process is going to take somewhere between 20 and 40 days, depending on the bank and what it is. So don't expect to have your money on the spot, unless it's the lower denomination. Does that make
sense?
Thank
you so much. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diana. Okay.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Now, we're going to bring him on for a couple minutes because the guy was on the phone until 4 a.m. last night with the G-Man. Piff, you're on the air. What's up, buddy?
How you doing there, Dave?
I'm doing good. Thanks for all the time I've been able to spend with you for the last couple of days.
No problem. I have missed part of the show because I have been on the phone again. I'm all talked out.
When are
today.
You not on the phone?
I have another call that I have to get on, and that's why I have to make a short visit and just thank you and wish you a happy birthday from 2 days ago, even though it's just today.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Trying to get rid of this cough.
Now, let me ask this question. Did I explain
sure.
the process appropriately about how we want to get all those names to you and how the folks on my newsletter list and how we can do that?
No, I was not. I've only been able to be on for about 8 or 9 minutes because I've been tied up on some phone calls.
I think I got it right.
Tonight.
We need to make it for... Yeah, if we need to make a correction or if you can listen to it later, let me know. I think I did fine, and basically, you know, I think was what we talked about today is that I will go ahead and use my newsletter list to forward on to you the form that you have for folks to fill out. And I actually saw that form today because a friend of mine had already gotten it from you, and she emailed me saying, hey, do you know about this? So I've already seen that form. I saw it today.
Because
you saw the one for the BNN? Yeah, because it looks like your staff has already sent it out for you because one of my friends already got it.
I'm sure they're on here listening, and I have not even talked to them since this morning. Yeah. That's how busy it's been. It's been crazy.
Right.
So,
and I've been telling the folks, all you – I'm sorry, go ahead.
But no, I was just going to tell them on this call – sorry, guys, and I will be back with you as soon as I get done with my next call. But everything, it's just so amazing. I mean, it's just eye-opening how important this is. So,
yeah.
Dave, thanks for all your time. Stay safe on your travels, okay? And
say thank you. You know, I think we all want to say thank you for what you're doing and how you're making this available to so many people. So.
You know how I feel about that. It's
I know.
Only way I can do it is pay it forward the rest of my life. That's the only thing that I have left. And as long as I do that every day, I will go away happy and live a happy life. And sometimes it's just the smallest things that make a difference in somebody's life that day. I did it today. I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll do it every day until I die, just because I finally got it. So thanks, Dave, for having me on your show.
You're living it, buddy. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Thanks.
I just want to say, you're living that Pay It Forward. That's what you're living, and I know that person, so good job.
I can't wait to listen to the playback later tonight. Okay, and see what I can learn, because I always learn from you as well. Okay?
Love you, buddy.
I love you too. Bye.
You're very well loved. Okay, thanks. Okay, good night. Yeah.
Good night.
Okay. Folks, now that he's off the air, I want to take a couple minutes to tell his story, because he probably wouldn't have allowed me to do this. Piff was a very, very good professional athlete. He was actually a professional softball player, and he had 11 World Series rings as a professional softball player. That's been the love of his life. He was a gentleman who was younger before they really understood what was going on, had taken performance-enhancing drugs in his life. He had taken steroids without knowing what it was going to do to his body later in life. And right now, it's creating a pretty heavy rack and pretty hard on his body. He has been close to death more than once. He does not know how much longer he has to live. He has been on chemotherapy. I was with him today, and he said, you know, my hair is finally growing back to the point where I'm actually ready to get a haircut. And I've seen pictures of him before, and I know where he is now. It wreaked havoc on his body, and his body was just out of control. This was a guy who was a professional athlete in ultimate great physical shape. His body ballooned all the way up to 305 pounds, and he couldn't control it. And then the next thing you know, his body went on a rampage, and he went all the way down to 135 pounds. And he's now gaining some of his health back. He is under constant medical care. Sometimes he has good days, and sometimes he has some not-go-so-good days. And so when something like that happens to you, it changes your life, and it changed his life. And that's why he is realizing money's not important to him, because he doesn't even have any idea how long he's going to live because of what the steroids, the performance-enhancing drugs has done to his body. And sometimes this takes years before it shows up, and that's why it's so important to not allow any young people, especially at the high school level, to start taking these drugs, because they have no idea what it's going to do to their body 10, 15, 20 years later. And because he did that. He did that before they knew what was going to take place. And he obviously regrets it. But on the positive side, it changed his life. And I said, he's at that point in time in his life where money doesn't mean anything to him. What does money mean to you if you don't even know you're going to live for another month? And so he has developed a lifestyle of what is called Pay It Forward. That's his nickname, PIF, P-I-F. And that's what he lives. He does that. And it's not just him. I was able to be in touch with friends of his, people who know him, and they say he lives it. He lives that as a lifestyle, to pay it forward to help other people. Okay? Thanks, PIF. Thanks for coming on the air for a short time, buddy. I know you're a very, very busy man. He was on the phone last night until for almost 4 hours with the G-Man, 4 a.m. So they're working this process for all of us, okay? So now let's go. I'm going to go on to the callers, and I'm going on to the next caller. His name is Terry. He's from area code 919. Terry, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. The question I have, you said that the Zim would come out staggered. Is that correct?
Not the Zim. I don't have any information or intel on the Zim. What I do know is the dinar, and then they were saying about a week later will be the dong. But what I have also been told, as soon as the dinar goes public, they will shut off your availability to purchase any more dong as well, so you cannot double dip.
Oh, okay.
So you can't get $1 million from your dinar and go turn around and buy $1 million worth of dong, and the next thing you know, you got yourself $500 million. They're not going to allow that to happen. See?
Okay.
Yeah. The Zim, I don't know. I just don't have information on the Zim.
Okay. That's fine. The other question was, how important is it that we submit the exact amount that we wish to exchange with the dong?
I have no idea. I can't answer that question for you. I just know there's a form to fill out, and they're asking how much you – it could be how much you want to trade in, how much you want to exchange. You put in there what you put in there. My understanding is it's so they can have a reasonable estimation of how much is going to be so they can conduct an orderly exchange. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to turn around and lie, then you're only clogging up the system. Now, I'm not saying that for you personally. I'm saying that as a general statement. As a general statement, if you're not going to tell the truth how much you're going to exchange, I don't know what the ramifications of that might be. They may say, this is what you put on the form, this is what you get to exchange at the private rate, the rest you got to go public. So you may only hurt yourself, and you're clogging up the system for everybody else when you do that.
Well, the question wasn't for the intent of lying, but was rather just trying to get some if there was any flexibility, because you may change your mind how much you want to do.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And you know, and Terry, I can't give you an exact answer on that because I don't have the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the one who sets the rules. But you could change your mind. You can always put in a larger amount and choose to do less. It's your money. It's whatever you want to do with it. You know, they can't force you to do something you don't want to do. You know, you can always change your mind. But it's part of the process so they can have some clarity and have an idea of how many people and how much. That's
The U.S. Treasury Interfaith Team, are they doing all the humanitarian groups?
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
Uh-uh. Okay. Very well. Well, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good night. Yeah. And I'm glad Terry brought that up, folks. I understand that that can be a sensitive situation when you're basically giving information out to somebody that you don't know. Well, you just heard the guy on the air pit. He's the one. It's his staff that's collecting the data. And it's always your choice how much you want to put in there. They may set a rule. If you put X number in there, that's all that you get to do and don't expect to do more. I don't know. I can't answer that. They haven't established all that, and they didn't put it on the form, and I just saw the form a couple hours before I came on the air. Okay? Be flexible with it. Be thankful. It's called thankfulness and gratitude, okay? All right. I'm going to go on to the next caller, and I am going to a person who is he goes by the name of Coach Roach, and he's area code 951. Coach Roach. That's the name I see down there tonight. You're on the air. What can I help you with?
Nothing. I've already spoken to the lady. I think I've got things squared away.
You got all kinds of stuff squared away. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. So I saw the note that she wrote, and you had that information, that question answered. Was that correct?
Yes. I guess we'll be making contact again in the next day or so, whatever your schedule is. So.
Okay. Well, anyway. I'm going to be on the road all day tomorrow. I have to drive over to southern Colorado tomorrow, so I'm driving from the Salt Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have to go over to Trinidad, Colorado tomorrow. I'm going to be spending a day doing some filming for a Discovery TV channel program. So, yeah, so I have to head over there tomorrow.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But I have a contribution that I'm currently making, and that's the main reason for my conversation with the lady that's with you today.
And so Charla was able to answer that question for you and take care of that for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so, to a degree anyway. And I'm sure I'll find out later on. I want to keep you away from your...
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's very well appreciated. So, we're all in this together to help each other. Okay, thanks a lot. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to continue going on down the list, and I'm going to a gentleman by the name of Ryan that is calling from area code 717. Ryan, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hey, yeah, I was listening to your show on Blog Talk before I got it on the phone, and it was cutting in and
uh-huh.
out. Just wanted to know what the details were. It was right at the time you were mentioning the Dong Exchange.
Uh-huh.
And wanted to know if it was an – is it an early exchange? Did you say that, or is it – I didn't hear all the details. Like, I had to kept on closing out a Blog Talk and trying to open it back up. It was almost as if it was
yeah.
trying to buffer or something.
Yeah, I don't – you know, that might be an internet problem, your internet speed, or sometimes it's the browser that you use. And sometimes it can get a little bit scratchy when we are live. And what I tell folks is, here's what I've always found. It can be scratchy live, but if you go back and listen to it archived, it's usually always good on the archived basis. So if you feel you missed something, just go back and you can listen to the archive portion of it. But now your question again about the Dong, run that by me again.
Yeah, is it an early – I know you said that there's a small window. I got that part.
There's
is
a small
it an early
window.
Exchange or no?
We don't know. It's a small
okay.
window that you can get involved in to be a part of the private group rate, the private transaction rate, which is going to be somewhere between 2 to 3 times higher than the public rate. Now, it may go public first and may take a period of time to transact your private exchange transaction, so you could got an opportunity to go down to the bank and cash it in on the public rate, but if you were willing to wait another, I'm just throwing this off the top of my head, maybe another week, you would have maybe 2 to 3 times as much, you see. It's always your choice. You see, all you're going to
oh,
do
okay.
is submit your name and that information, and nobody's going to force you to come in and take that private transaction because you will have to go into a bank to transaction, and the instructions of where those banks will come later of how that will be. But it's a window of opportunity for you to take advantage of if you want to do that. But because you're dealing with people in a private transaction, sometimes it can take a little bit longer to conduct than it can be to just walk into a bank. So.
Right, right.
That,
okay,
that
will this be
question?
Select banks? Yeah, will it be
not
select banks?
Not for the Dong. Now, that's my understanding. My understanding is not for the Dong because, see, the Dong is already a currently tradable currency on the open foreign exchange market, and the dinar is not. And that's why Wells Fargo has that exclusive contract with the dinar for the first 20 days. But you could take your Dong in today and exchange it, but you're just going to get the current exchange rate if you choose to do that.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
Great,
sense?
And then you're coming to thanks. And then you're coming to. I heard you're coming to Philadelphia. Where can I find more information
yes.
on that?
Go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com, and there you'll see about. It's a 1-day workshop that I'll be doing in the Philadelphia area. I'm actually over across the river in southern New Jersey at a Courtyard Marriott Hotel, probably about 15 miles out of downtown Philadelphia. And it will be 1 day. It's on a Sunday, April 27th. And I looked around at other facilities, and I would have to pay almost 2 to 3 times as much at other places to have it on a Saturday. And I said, and then I would just have to charge you folks more. And I said, I'm not. I don't want to do that. So I want people to be able to come. I want to keep the cost down. So
sure.
But yeah, it's a 1-day workshop. It's on April 27th. You go on there to my website, and you will find right at the top there's the link, and then it takes you to the page where it gives you all the information and the ability to register if you want to do that. Would love to have you.
Okay. Okay. Is there an agenda
okay.
on there as well?
I have an agenda. The workshop, I have 3 2-hour sessions. I did this the first time a couple weeks ago in Dallas-Fort Worth, and actually each session ended up being about an hour and a half, so our break time was a little bit more. But I have 3 different sessions with 3 different topics. The first session, the first 2-hour period, I go through and I talk about the background and the history, why we are, the role of the Federal Reserve. This is a world-changing event for us, what we can do as a collective group of people to help make that change happen. And then in the second session, I talk about nuts and bolts of banking. What does it mean? How do you set up bank accounts? Why you want that local banker at your branch to be one of your best friends? What they can do for you? How you can set up business accounts like LLCs or subchapter S corporations and save yourself thousands and thousands of dollars in taxes and just carrying out your everyday normal affairs of what you would normally do. And it's all about that, because this is all about us educating ourselves how to be millionaires. And then in the last two-hour session, I talk about what is called developing what is called the millionaire mindset, how we think, how we process ourselves, how we take this money and have the right mental attitude, and how we avoid what we call the lottery complex, because about half of the people that win the lottery, within a year or two, they've lost all their money and they're right back to where they were, and how we can be people to avoid that and learn how to move forward with that. So that's kind of a one-day workshop, and that's the bolts of the agenda. So, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
So I said
hey,
that to
you
and everybody else.
Right, sure. Right. I thought it would be beneficial, yeah, for everyone.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes when the questions come up, I don't answer the questions just for you. I answer the questions for the others that are listening as well. So, yeah. But anything else
sure.
I can help you with, Ryan?
No, that'll do it. Yep, thank you.
Good. All right. Okay, thanks a lot, buddy. Okay, good night.
Good night. Bye.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay, going to continue to go on down the list, and I'm going to go to a lady by the name of Laura, and she is coming from area code 281. Laura, you are on the air. What can I help you with?
My husband and I just yesterday went down to Wells Fargo to open up a new banking account. And
uh-huh.
talking with the representative who was, she's not a teller, she's really a financial services representative, opening up checking accounts and helping people with different items and along that line, she specifically said that they have been told by their higher-ups that they are not going to be exchanging the dinar.
Yep, that's their official statement as of now, and they can turn around and change that overnight if they want to. You see,
okay.
they are putting out that out as an official statement because they're kind of caught in a catch-22.
Okay.
Now, can you imagine if at the local bank they're saying, oh, yes, we're going to exchange the dinar. And then what happens when they get flooded with people coming in and asking questions that they don't have answers to? And what happens when the lawsuits get filed against them because it doesn't go exactly as some person thinks that they would? You see, it's a catch-22 for them to admit at this time publicly that they are going to do that. So there have been memos that have come down from their higher-up offices saying that they are not going to be involved in the dinar. And as of today, it's a correct statement because they
okay.
cannot be involved in the dinar today because they cannot exchange the dinar today.
They can't. Right.
But their higher-up headquarters could turn around tomorrow and put out a different statement. See? And
where now?
Because we have received lots of reports from people who work at Wells Fargo banks, and they have said, don't you dare quote me, but of course we're going to be involved in it.
Yeah.
But
okay.
if you have to ask them officially, you know, if they know you as a friend, they may give you a wink. They may give you a
right.
nod. They can say, can you read between the lines? I can't say this officially. There's so much of that goes on. But that's
okay.
what it is.
All cool. right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Anything else I can help you with?
No. That's all I needed.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great
Thanks.
Evening.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And, folks, I hope you understand that. Now, because, you know, right now, it's really probably best that you just leave the banks alone. They're caught in a catch-22. At the branch level, they don't know what's going on. This is stuff that – these are decisions that are being made at the top corporate levels. And, yes, sometimes it filters down to some of the people. But here's what I tell folks. There's a world of difference in banking that takes place at the corporate level versus the branch level. If we think banking is a corrupt industry, which I think it is, it doesn't take place at the branch level with the customers. It takes place at the corporate level. And some of you folks, you have this fear thinking the bank is going to come in and going to steal your money and rip you off and take everything from you. Folks, that would be an absolute public relations nightmare for a bank to do that. A bank, when it does what I call its shenanigans, it doesn't do it with individual customers. It uses our money. It's called using other people's money, the money that we deposit into their banks, and then they can take it and play games with it. That's the illegal stuff that goes on. That's the shenanigans that go on. That's the where the corruption lies. They take our money that's in our accounts because they know there's always going to be X number of dollars in the bank accounts because we aren't all going to go rush down overnight and take all of our money out overnight. So they are allowed to do certain things with it, and then they play games with it behind the scenes thinking they could get by with it. That's where the corruption takes place. It would be an absolutely public relations nightmare for the bank to steal some money from an individual. That's why they stole $1 million. That person could come back with a lawsuit to file against the bank. It's making news all across the country. And the next thing they know, this bank has lost more customers left and right than what they could think of. Would you do business with a bank that you don't? But I wouldn't. If I heard that that happened to individuals, I wouldn't go near that bank, and I wouldn't put my money in that bank. So can you see how that can be a public relations nightmare for them, how they do something with customers? So how they treat customers is totally different than what they do on their inside operations at the corporate level of the principle of what is called using other people's money. They take our money and they use it and they play games with it to corruptly make more money for themselves. But at the branch level, you want to go in and take that personal banker, that personal financial representative, and you want to make that person be your best friend for you as an individual. They have resources for you. They have information for you. They have networking for you that can be so helpful if you make that person be your best friend. And what you want to do is if you got $1 million, you want to do that with two or three different bankers so you're always getting a second opinion. They're your friend. They're going to roll out the red carpet for you. They want you to have your money in their bank. Because, see, at the branch level, at the end of the year, they get bonuses based on how many customers they have and how much money they have in their branch. They want you there with your money, and they are going to treat you like a king and a queen. And if they don't, then go somewhere else where they do, because there will be somebody else that will do that for you. Get to know them. And when you bring in $1 million, they will want to get to know you folks. Okay? So don't be afraid of your banker. Let that banker basically become your best friend. Okay. Now, I'm going to go on down to the next caller. I'm going to a gentleman by the name of Kent, and he's calling from area code 760. Kent, what can I help you with tonight?
Well, first, Dave, thank you very much for all that you guys are doing to get us educated and up to speed on this. It's a labor of love and a passion that we can all read into it, and I just want to thank you.
My pleasure.
I've signed up on your Sedona Connection. I don't know that I'm signed up. I don't get a return email or a newsletter yet. It's been a few days. I don't know how long, if you're behind on that or if it's not going through. I just wanted to make sure I was signed up.
Well, you should have. If you've signed up on the website and filled out that form, you should be in there automatically.
Okay.
And I did send the newsletter out this morning. And if you didn't get the newsletter I sent out today, then I would say just go back and do it again.
Okay.
Maybe something didn't – I don't know. I don't have an answer on that. So, okay, go back and
do it. I notice that it's SedonaConnection.wordpress.com.
Yes, same thing. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
When I go to Sedona Connection.
Because I use Word – right. Either one is the same because
okay.
I say it's TheSedonaConnection.com, and then that forwards to – my thesedonaconnection.wordpress.com website, because WordPress is what I use for my website.
Okay, I guess leaving the
they're
off
both
here.
Yeah, they're both.
A question I haven't seen addressed. how come we can still buy dinar and dong right now for almost the price of the paper? Why isn't there a market established when we're so close to the RV, apparently? Why are these dealers not starting to speculate themselves and hold back? And why are they eager to sell and take our money?
Dealers are regulated by the U.S. Treasury. They cannot. Now, here's how I understand it. A dealer has to be licensed and certified by the U.S. Treasury to sell dinar. Dinar is a currency that is not tradable on the open foreign exchange market. This goes back to 1990 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. The United Nations they devalued the Iraqi dinar and they took it off the open tradable market so that their currency couldn't be traded in anywhere and used anywhere except within the country of Iraq. And then President George W. Bush signed an executive order within the United States to allow people to purchase dinar within the United States, but they had to basically get it through an authorized broker. Now, you wonder why these brokers aren't making billions buying it for themselves, because they're regulated. They can't. Now, here's how I understand it, but I've got this secondhand. Brokers, they are watched and they are regulated by the Treasury, but what they can do, they can purchase for themselves a percentage of the gross of what they sell. So obviously they don't make their money off of selling the currency. I mean, they do not get rich off of that. I mean, they only make somewhere between $8 and $12 profit per transaction. That's peanuts. You don't get rich off of that kind of stuff. But sure, what they do get to do is participate in the process. So if they have 1,000 customers who have bought X number of dinar from them, that qualifies them to purchase X dinar for themselves, is what it does. So obviously they have an incentive to sell it, because the more that they sell, the more they can purchase for themselves. Because they cannot just openly take it and just keep it all for themselves, because they're regulated by the Treasury. That makes sense?
Yes, okay.
Now, on
I
the
understand
dong,
that.
The dong is different. Because, see, the dong is a currently tradable currency. But through various means and sources, the country of Vietnam, their currency has been devalued. You go back to 1960, and the dong was trading at $2.21. Even as the late 1970s, if I remember this correctly, it was trading around 80 cents. Now, Vietnam themselves chose to devalue their currency because it helps build their country economically, because it means that their exports are very inexpensive in other countries around the world. So that allows them to compete in manufacturing goods, setting up manufacturing plants for various things like clothing and other materials like that, that they can manufacture to employ their people. And then the time is going to come when they are going to want to revalue their currency to bring it back to where it used to be. Now, with this global currency reset, it will be revalued based on the commodity assets within the country.
Well, that'll be the same thing in this country then. It'll bring some jobs back in here. We'll start, our factories will crank up again a little bit more.
When the global currency reset takes place, the U.S. dollar is going to drop in value. I mean, that's just common sense. Now, but that scares people because they don't understand what that means. There are some people that think if the dollar drops in value, let's say a dollar and it drops 30%, does that mean I lose 30% of all the money in my checking account? No, it does not. A dollar is still always a dollar inside the United States. What that means is it has dropped in value in contrast to other currencies around the world. And what it means is that items that are imported into the United States will cost 30% more. That's what it does. It means imported items will cost more when the dollar drops in value. Now, what that also does, though, yes, it means that we can now bring jobs back into the United States because it costs us more money to import them into our country, and it means that these jobs become more equitable. Imported stuff will cost more, but it also means we get more jobs, more manufacturing jobs coming back into our country when the dollar moves. So.
The price, you know, the expected price and so on when that goes, $371 or whatever, is that, will that just be then more in the open market and that price could go up or down from there over the next few months or years?
It could go up or down. It could go up or down. I don't have a good feel or basis to estimate how and when and how much. I think it's a crapshoot to try to think how much it's going to change.
Yeah.
I would think it might go up. That's just my hunch based on information, how I understand how markets work. But my understanding is, yes, it will be on an open market, traded as anything else, and it could fluctuate and change. Or it may be locked in at 371 for those 20 days. I don't have those details. I don't know.
Okay.
But I have heard secondhand that it will probably be, it will at some point in time, it's going to open up to an open floating currency as all the other currencies around the world. I just don't know. I don't
it
know
seems like on your site, or at least when I looked it up maybe the first time, maybe it was something that popped up alongside, said buy IraqiDinarHere.com, I think it is. Looked like it was maybe recommended by you, but I don't know that it was.
No, I don't do any ads on my site whatsoever. I don't know how that would come up there.
Typed in your name before I got to your site, it might have shown up there as a sideline. It says I got a certificate of authenticity with it. Is that a Worldwide Collectibles LLC? Is that a legitimate company as far as you know?
I have absolutely no idea. I haven't seen that. I don't do any advertising on my website. So
yeah.
I don't even know how or where it came from and what's it associated with. Maybe, you know, sometimes there is some stuff that goes on behind the scenes that different companies that sell dinar see that I'm someone that talks about it, and they may be able to touch something through WordPress.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it gets associated with my Facebook page.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
You know, when you have Facebook,
I'll tell you exactly how
people
I
can
saw
run,
it. I was doing a search for you, though, and may have been an ad to the right, you know, one of those Google ads or something. For some reason, I made the connection that it came from you, but when I went back and looked on your site, I couldn't find it anywhere. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
It never dawned on me
that it might be counterfeit, but I don't think it is.
No, iBuyDinar is a good company. They're a certified company. I mean, I do know that. I mean, they're not a bad company. But probably what happened is you Googled my name, and then Google always runs ads besides whatever came up. And then a company like iBuyDinar will attach themselves to, you know, people like myself and Dinar Recaps and all the others when you Google them, because they know how to do that. They know how to run ads in association with what people are looking for.
Yeah.
So it could have come up on a Google search. It could have come up on Facebook. But on my own website, I do not run any ads.
This one actually is not iBuy. It's buyIraqiDinarHere.com.
I don't know about them.
Shorewood, Illinois.
I don't know about them. I always just tell folks, I highly advise if you're going to purchase it from a dealer that you know is authorized by the Treasury. Because if you do that, then you know it's going to be good and it's not going to be counterfeit.
Okay.
So make sure that you purchase it from a dealer that is authorized by the Treasury.
Non-criminal. Sent a certificate of authenticity with it, registered with the United States Treasury Department, it says.
Now then they're good.
Worldwide Collectibles LLC is registered with the United States Treasury. All sales.
Because see, if they're putting that out, if they weren't good, they'd have lawyers after them in heartbeat and shut them down. So.
Okay. Well, I think you've answered my questions. Again, I very much appreciate what you're doing, and we're all looking forward with excitement. I think based on what I've heard, if I can still get it, I'm going to probably get some dong as well.
Yeah. Yep. People need to make their own choices, but I'd recommend it. So, you know, especially with the dong, you know, the dong is such a great investment because, you know, if you change your mind, the only thing you lose in the end is your exchange fee on both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so little risk involved with purchasing dog. So
yeah, because it's
okay,
already.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kent.
Thank you very much. God
Bye.
Bless. Bye bye.
Okay. Okay. All right. Bye bye. Okay, folks, here's what I need to do. I need to let you know that I'm getting to the point where I need to keep people short because I only have about 14 minutes left. So I'm going to need to keep everybody somewhat on a short leash now for the rest of the evening. Okay, going to the next caller. The name is Jen. She's calling from area code 774. Jen, you're on the air. What can I help you with?
Hi, Dave. Just want to say thank you so much for everything you're doing and that I have a lot of
My
respect
pleasure.
For you. And quick question is, on these private exchanges for the dong, do you have a sense of what some of the bigger items in the contract will be as far as how they're controlling our money, et cetera, et cetera?
No,
I saw
the contract for the dinar. Now, all of the fees are taken out of the top when the money that is given to you, that is yours. And that money is money that is wired into your bank account, and it is free and clear money, which means it has no restrictions on it.
Okay. And do you have a sense of how that exchange will happen? Will it be that we get on a list at a particular bank, and then we go to the bank and do the exchange?
As I understand it now, is you will turn that list in. That list will be basically submitted to the U.S. Treasury interface team. And then they will then send out instructions about what banks you can go to because the banks will have your names. You will then go into the bank. You will produce your identification. You will give your dong to them, and then they will give you the higher private contract rate to be put into your bank account.
Great. That sounds pretty simple.
Yep.
On the dinar.
They have really simplified this one in contrast to the dinar.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for everything you're doing to facilitate this or to be a part
there's a small window that you get to sign up on that list. And see, and the U.S. Treasury interface team will basically submit that list to the banks will be able to access the list, and they will be able to, then they will go through the process of, you know, verifying who you are, that you are that person. Like, you'll have to show a various form of ID. Don't know those specifics and details. That comes out later.
Great.
And I
Thank
don't know
you.
Which banks, but my understanding, it will be all the major banks you'll be able to do this with.
Okay. And on the dinar exchanges, do you have a sense of, I mean, we're not going to have a Wells Fargo account when we go in there, right? I mean, I'm sure they'll open an account for us. Right.
No,
okay.
You don't. You can go into Wells Fargo in those first 20 days and ask for a cashier's check, but I would expect to say that you may be 20 to 30 days before you get your money, if that's what you want. You see,
but we could
and it's
probably
because
open an account on the spot, right?
You could open an account on the spot as well, and they would love to have you do it. Of course they would.
Yeah, I'm sure too. Do you think there's going to be like extended hours at Wells Fargo, like so that there's not total pandemonium and like extended hours? We've heard of exchange centers. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know those specifics. There's been lots of rumors that are out there. But I would think if I was in their shoes, it would be common sense that they would do it because they want to get as many people in those first 20 days as possible. It's just good business sense that they would do it. You know?
I agree.
Just good
agree.
Business sense.
And I agree. My last question is, I've read about the spread fees at the banks. So it's their fee to exchange the money. And then I've also read that there's a U.S. Treasury exchange fee that the banks have to pay, that's like they have to pay it, but that the bank spread fee we might possibly be able to negotiate that. Do you happen to know?
That is true. I don't know those details. I have not seen that in the contract for the public rate, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's common sense that the bank is going to charge some form of a transaction exchange fee. How much? I have no idea. That's just common sense. Unless the Treasury has already taken care of that through the exchange price, but I don't know.
True. Do you happen to know what the U.S. Treasury fee is?
No.
I wonder. Okay. Well, thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Okay.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Have a good evening.
Yep. You too.
Okay. Okay, going to continue on down the list so we can get through everybody tonight. I'm going to L.A. from area code 281. L.A., what can I help you with?
Yes, L.A. This is my name, Dave. This is Laverne. We met at your seminar in Dallas-Fort Worth.
I remember. You were at the workshop in Dallas-Fort Worth. What can I help you with?
That's correct. I'm a detailed person. I got a couple questions. One, just want to make sure if I got your email about tonight's call, that means I am on that list. Is that correct?
Yep. If you currently get my newsletter, then you're on my list.
Well, I just wasn't certain what you meant by your newsletter. I would say the one that you sent today that said April 9th update. That means I'm on your newsletter. Is that correct?
That means you're on the list. That means you're on the list. Yep.
All right. The other question is, being a detailed person, how did you go about vetting the UST interface team? How do we, I'm somewhat still suspicious.
I need to keep that information confidential.
Okay.
I can't reveal my sources. I can't reveal what steps I went through, how that I had it verified, who that I talked to, but I'm a happy camper, and I'm convinced the guy's for real. And I didn't take that casually.
I understand. And they're actually associated with the United States Treasury. They are part of the United States Treasury.
They are not employees of the Treasury because they are an interface team that has international members in each of the teams because this is an international issue.
Okay.
Not all of them are U.S. citizens because that's why it's called an interface team, because this is an international issue and it has international members in the teams.
Okay. All right.
That's all I can say on that. Okay.
That's it. I'll let you go to the next caller. Thank you so much, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you for all you do.
Thanks. Okay. Yep, good. Glad to hear from you again. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Okay, going to go on to the next caller. His name is Byron. He's calling from area code 661, which is in Toronto. Byron, how can I help you?
Hey, Dave. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Glad to hear from you again. I might have to cut you short tonight. I just need to let you know that. Okay.
All right. I was talking to Sharla anyway. It's about being on this list. Because I get a notification about your Wednesday night show, it comes to the Sedona Connection at msn.com. We are going to get a letter that we can fill out, a form, just because we're on your list. Okay, and then we deal directly. Now, because I'm in Canada, will this apply as well, this particular rate?
Well, I don't have an answer on that, but here's based on what I do understand. You will probably have to come to a bank in the United States to get the private rate.
Oh, that's wow.
I mean, that's how I understand it. Okay. Now I don't know the details of what that means of taking currency across country lines, but I'm just telling you, you will probably, because this is a U.S. Treasury interface transaction that is taking place with banks inside the United States. And other than that, you would probably have to go with what is called the public rate, and that will be at banks all around the world. If you want to be a part of that private, it's a private contract is what it is.
Yeah.
And those are the folks that put it together. And that's all the answer that I have. I sympathize for you, but I don't have an answer other than that.
I can't see going across the border with 100 million dong. I just can't see how they would let that wash. You know what I mean?
There's ways to do it.
Yeah, well, maybe I can talk to you privately about that.
I don't have all the answers. You can research it. You can call. You can do your own work. But here's what you do. When you go across a border, they do not – what you have to do is fill out a form that says, are you taking more than $10,000 worth? It doesn't say you can't take it. It just says, are you? And what they do is they want to make sure that you are not using it to do drug dealing and terrorist activities and stuff like that. That's why they watch it. I do know people who have taken millions of U.S. dollars across foreign borders, and when they are at customs, they have been able to take it through because they sufficiently answer the question. They just want to, they may watch you. If you tell them what you are doing, where you are going, what you are doing it for, and that you might have a receipt, they may ask you a lot more questions. I don't understand. It's not illegal to bring that kind of money into the country. They just have a right to know that you're bringing it into the country.
Yeah. Well, at this point, all it is for the amount of money I quoted you, because it hasn't been revalued, it comes to about $7,000 because that's the going rate. Right? But
and
still.
I know people. What's that? What'd you say?
Yeah, I mean, the going rate is what I have it at. So it's not millions of dollars, not yet. But even so, no. I don't even know where I would go at this point, right? So
you don't know where you would go, and you would have to work that when that comes out. I know people who have basically put in a U.S. postal overnight package and overnighted across borders and done fine with it, or a FedEx or UPS. You see, but that's your choice. That's your choice, okay? If you're going to choose to do that, but you see, they don't have the right to open up that package without a search warrant. I am not the legal answer on this. I want to make sure everybody listening to this understands what I just told you is not legal advice. I'm just telling you, I know other people have done that. What you do is your choice and your responsibility. Okay. Yeah, I need to make sure everybody understands that. Okay. All right. Okay, I need to let you go, buddy, because I got a couple more folks I need to get to.
Right, sure. Okay, man. Take care.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. Bye.
Yep. Okay, going to a gentleman by the name of Dennis, and he's calling from area code 305. Dennis, how can I help you?
Hi, Dennis. Hi, Dave. This is Dennis Drake. I used to live in Las Vegas, and I get VA disability from my bank at Bank of America, and I use about $550 to buy, half a million dinar and 2 million dong from M7 out of Miami.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for it to be delivered. And I plan on just sitting on it. Once it gets here, it'll be here by the end of the month.
Okay. Now, Dennis, I've only got a couple
minutes.
Are there
any banks down here in South America be able to do that, sell it, or,
when
it gets revalued? Because, I know the dollar is going to collapse around June.
Well, it's an international traded currency, and you can always take it into a major bank almost anywhere around the world that trades foreign currencies and trade it in. You just want to wait for it to revalue. Okay.
Well, that's what I plan on doing, because
yeah.
I know I'm only going to get checks up until about June, and then, boom, then the dollar's going, meh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so, okay. Okay, any more questions?
No, so I can just go to one of the major banks here, like the Bank of Pinoche or one of the big banks and do it?
Yep, you can go to any major bank in the world that exchanges foreign currency. You could even do it today if you wanted to. Okay.
No, I'm not. Why should I do it today? I wouldn't make any money.
I know. I know. I'm just saying you could. But you want to wait for the rates to change. Okay. I need to let you go because I'm let down to less than a minute before I'm cut off the air. Okay. Alrighty.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye bye.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, folks. I want to thank you very much for being on the air tonight. Big news. Remember, go to my website, thesedonaconnection.com. In the right hand column is the tab to click on to be added to my newsletter email list. That's what it is. You heard from a previous person. Is if you're receiving my newsletter that I send out on a weekly basis, then you're on the list. That is what I am going to use to send the information out of how to get on the list that PIF has put together that is working with the U.S. Treasury Interface team. Okay? It's your choice. You get to do what you want. Nobody's forcing you to do anything. You always have the freedom of choice. You'll submit your information. If you don't want to carry out the transaction, you don't have to. Nobody is asking for your currency. It will always stay in your possession, in your control, and you will be able to get more information later. Thanks, folks. Love you all. see you next week. Okay, good night.